This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. So glad you're with us. Coming your way in 20 minutes. Trash Tuesday. We'll get to our trashes. And in 40 minutes, the poll question today and your epic fail. Poll is Scooby-Doo a superhero? Nick Castellanos of the Philadelphia Phillies claimed as much, and we've debated that for much of today's show because sports! Jim Irsay really needs to chill. And I don't think he will, because Jim Irsay has no chill. And Jim Irsay says things without thinking, I think. And Jim Irsay feels to be a bit of a loose cannon. But Jim Irsay has weighed in again on his rookie quarterback, Anthony Richardson, the number 4 overall pick. He told Pat McAfee, for Anthony Richardson, it's going to be tough, we know that. But he has to play better. He has to play to get better. I mean, there's no question. Gardner Minshew could come out and obviously play better early, just being a veteran. But we have to get Anthony on the field. That's Shane's call when he decides to do it. Shane Steichen is the new head coach in Indianapolis. Peyton Manning, once upon a time, was the number 1 overall pick, 1998. He said Peyton was, quote, really prepared as much as he could be for the league. And that's why he started from day one, even though the Colts went 3-13. Okay. I know they've got a relationship. Pat played for the Colts. So Jim and Pat, I'm sure, have had conversations privately. They bring it publicly. That's cool to listen into. At the same time, Jim Irsay really needs to be very careful about this because he has now put his quarterback and his head coach in a bad position. Without a doubt, Anthony Richardson was the high-level quarterback prospect who had the most to learn. There was no doubt in anybody's mind he was the most raw. That what you saw at the combine excited you, what you saw at his pro day excited you. However, there was no doubt he needed far more polish than C.J. Stroud, than Bryce Young, than even Will Levis, that Richardson needed polish, and that if you were impatient and you needed him to play, you should not draft him. That was always the conventional wisdom. And forget just repeating what you hear or what you read. I think that's just a practical, pragmatic, logical way to go about using Anthony Richardson. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. But for every great throw that he had last year, he had 10 bad throws. If you watch Richardson last season, it was just a demolition derby. You would see a game where you said, man, that guy's got a lot of talent. And then you would see three games and say, oh, I don't know where that talent is. He would come and go, ebb and flow, rise and fall, and his lows were just as low as his highs were high. So the idea that you would then take a guy that had certainly not mastered college football and just throw him into the NFL and assume he'll work out the kinks there, I think is lunacy. You've got to have somebody take over in the NFL that has one of two things: a mastery of the college level, and with that experience, that knowledge, that confidence, can attack the NFL job, witness Peyton Manning, mastery of college, and then the mentality of, okay, I know everything I can know there, and now I'm going to approach this the same way. Or a guy that needs time in the NFL to figure it out before the bullets are really flying. And that's where I think Anthony Richardson is. You don't take a guy that doesn't know what's going on in college and throw him into the NFL and go, okay, now figure this out. You have Anthony Richardson behind the scenes in practice, work and work and work and work. And you work, you give him as much playing time as you need in the preseason because nobody really cares. They care a little bit, but not a lot. If he stinks in the preseason, throws two touchdowns against 13 interceptions over the course of three or four games, so what? Now, people are going to be like, wow, that's really bad preseason, but mostly people forget about that. If he comes out in September and throws two touchdowns against 13 interceptions, A, nobody will let him live it down. B, he might not overcome it. He personally might not overcome it. So you put Richardson in a terrible spot right now because you're going to put him out there or want him to be out there and expect, yeah, it's going to be hard, but he'll just ride it out. When maybe he's not built that way to just ride out the low lows. Number two, why tell your coach what to do? Why tell people publicly what your coach needs to do? Okay, yeah, you've given Shane Steichen a bit of an out of he'll decide when it's ready. But you've now said multiple times, we want Anthony Richardson to play. Get out of the way. You're the owner, not the coach. It's why you hire a general manager who hires the head coach. And so many of these owners get that backwards. Jerry Jones gets this backwards. As an owner, you don't have football say because you don't have football expertise. You hire the best person that has that. And the flow chart is the owner hires the general manager or the president who hires the general manager who hires the head coach. And of course, you want to all be on the same page, but you do not insert yourself where you don't know what's going on. Jim Irsay might think that he knows football because he's been around football. His dad owned the Baltimore Colts. But that's not your call. You don't know what you're watching on film. You don't. You don't know the footwork. You don't know what he's seeing in the film room. You don't know. You just don't. And the worst owners don't know what they don't know. Dan Snyder, Jerry Jones, Jim Irsay. Guys that think they know football and they insert themselves into football decisions. Get out of the way. You know, if I was promoted to CEO of CBS Sports Radio, you know what I wouldn't do? Take over sales. You know what I wouldn't do? Run the engineering room. You know what I wouldn't do? Get on a ladder and fix a satellite. What I would do is hire the best engineer guy or gal to oversee the engineering department. I would hire the best salesperson, general manager, what have you, to hire the best sales team. I would hire the best technicians to get up on that satellite. I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't tell them what to do. Now, you know what? The satellites be tilted more towards the northeast side. I think that'll get us better reception in Tuscaloosa. No, you got to go door to door, sell steak knives. You guys aren't doing it right. So Jim Irsay likes to do with his football team. It is a Trash Tuesday. Let's get to your trashes. Bouncing baby boy, trashing you guys for not even considering the Zanaboni for the Mraz job. A bony bacon? Can you imagine? I think we could all agree that's a five-oinker every time. Hashtag we want bony. Hashtag check his resume. Hashtag get him in for a live interview.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Well, I love outside-the-box thinking, but you do have to realize Joey Zanaboni has his own very successful broadcasting career going on as we speak. He is the voice of St. Louis FC, an expansion team for MLS. He's also the voice of indoor soccer. One of the teams, either Kansas City or St. Louis. I think the St. Louis team, the Ambush or something. So he's calling games constantly. So he's got a full MLS season, and he's got a full indoor season after the MLS season. He was doing minor league baseball. Maybe he wants to get back into minor league baseball as well. I don't know where his time allows, but he's 4-1 done.
4-1 here at Fair Salem.
He has done television baseball for the Big 12 tournament on ESPN. The guy's busy. Does he also have time to book guests for us, to write up topic sheets for us, to sit inside the studio every day for 4 hours? I'm not sure about that.
No, he's too busy screaming at the top of his lungs for every call. I think this microphone would probably be blown out of its socket in the first week if he took this job.
Fair Salem. On the Fred Nash Radio Network.
4-1 here at Fair Salem.
He does have that Jim Carrey in Living Color. What was the fire guy?
Fire Marshal Bill.
Fire Marshal Bill, yep.
Let me tell you something.
He would take over the Casey Kasem impersonation. You'd lose that, D.A. You really want that?
Zanaboni would bring a level of personality and pop that would equal Mraz. But I think he might be busy. Can I get a little bit more Zanaboni, though? Just because we haven't played a Zanaboni goal call in a long time. And I feel like...
Doing glove work like an underutilized men's warehouse employee.
Oh, man. He was actually outdone the other day. I saw something on Twitter. We probably should have used it for soundcheck. I don't know if you guys did. There was I don't know if it was the MLS or if it was the USL... whatever the minor league soccer league is in North America. And I'm pretty sure Mickey Mouse was calling the game.
Ooh.
There's high-pitched. There's Zanaboni high-pitched. There's other high-pitched broadcasters. This was literally Mickey Mouse calling a game.
Give me a pair of sewing scissors and a half a bottle of dish soap. Let me go to town, baby. And they pull her out of the dugout. Shave me! Shave my body hair like a domesticated sea bass! Shave me!
Michael tweets, my daughter is trashing DA on his Taylor Swift take. She tells me that Taylor disagrees and is tough on her fans all the time. She says, you need to get your Taylor Swift facts right, buddy.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Well, that's it.
Whoa!
That's it. She called you buddy.
Hey, buddy, nothing makes me angry than when somebody calls me buddy.
Chief.
Like, I feel like Chief has been, like, we've made fun of people calling people Chief so much now, like, it's funny. But buddy, oh, buddy and guy.
Guy is
just flat out, nose in the air. You're a non-playable character, but you're nobody. Yeah. All right, guy.
Guy is more disrespectful than anything.
I think we redo the rankings. Guy's top of the list.
That shows that you don't want to learn the person's name, and you're too lazy to properly address the person.
Yeah, and it's just so disrespectful, demeaning. My thought was, can Taylor Swift, who's had all of her own issues, and she's been very public about them dating-wise, can she tell somebody else who's in a bad relationship, basically get your bleep together, you got yourself into this own mess, or would she seem like a hypocrite? Now, Hold On might not be about a bad relationship, but if it is, which many people would suggest, can she tell somebody else, I mean, get yourself out of this mess, you dug your own hole, since she seems to date the wrong guys pretty consistently? I don't know.
Hold on.
wrong guys, though? Or does she date guys that just to break up with them? Does she date to use, to then use for content, for lyrics?
Well,
she's a user, if you really think about it.
That's an interpretation of her of how she puts out her music. She would not frame it that way. She frames it as, I date a lot of guys that are scummy, that have treated me poorly, that don't really respect me, etc. So if you're just taking it from her standpoint or vantage point, whether it's the John Mayers of the world or whoever, can she tell another girl that's in a bad relationship with a John Mayer type, hey, you got yourself into this own mess, into your own mess? Now, I don't think so. Be a hypocrite.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about the way she frames it. I mean, she could take a curveball that spikes in front of the plate and make it look like a strike because she's selling out stadiums every single day, making $1 billion on the tour.
It's amazing.
Well, however she's framing things, she's framing it pretty well. But I do agree. She does sound like a hypocrite if she were to say that. What is she tough on her fan? In what regard? I don't really listen to a lot of Taylor Swift. Does she tell them, don't be fat? Or is it all relationship stuff?
It's a new song coming out. Don't be fat.
That's what she closes with on her Eras tour.
Right.
Here's the stadium swaying side to side. We love you, Taylor. And here's my new hit single, Don't Be Fat.
Right. And everyone starts to file out.
As everyone goes from a wonderful family experience to depressed.
Right.
As they dump their food and sodas into the garbage as they solemnly walk out of the stadium.
After 15 plates of French fries.
The guy's eating.
Waiting for this concert to start.
Guy's eating the ice cream cone, just looks at it in disgust all of a sudden.
Just dumps it over.
Look what you made me do.
Dumps it right in his forehead. Damn it.
He's just rocking out to Shake It Off. Shake it off. Shake it off. He's got this huge ice cream sundae. She begins her finale, Don't Be Fat. He listens to the lyrics, looks down at the ice cream, listens to the lyrics, looks down at the ice cream, gets sad, turns it over, drops to the parking lot, walks out depressed to his car, begins sobbing.
Look what you made me do, Taylor.
Don't be fat.
The lights go off. They're screaming, encore, encore, encore. All right, one more song. It's called Don't Be Fat. You fat bleep.
Oh, quiet.
King Curtis says, good morning, gentlemen. I'm trashing my coworkers that leave their trash around the warehouse. We have 3 giant trash cleanups after yourselves. We're all over 25. Hashtag let's be adults.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Sparks Gang. What up, fellas? I'm trashing the construction company that dug up part of my lawn fixing the sidewalk. Nice job of the sidewalk, but what about my lawn? Not to mention a pile of concrete of the grass. Hashtag, what a disgrace.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
And Aaron tweets, just stop all of these listener interviews. Just hire Boyle for the job. Look, we have to go through the proper... what would you call this? Protocol.
Precautions.
Corporate protocol.
All the steps.
That's right. We have to post it publicly. We have to open it up to interviews both inside and outside the company. We have to make sure that we have covered all of our bases. Obviously, Pat is a wonderful candidate for the job. He'll be seriously considered. And perhaps some of this is demeaning to him that he has to pick up phones and post people on the air that have absolutely no background in radio to, quote, interview for the job.
This is part of it. This is part of it.
But it's part of the process.
Pete, this is part of it.
It's part of the whole thing. You want to be a part of this this chaotic atmosphere? That's what you're getting.
That's right. Cast of Thousands, multi-circus tent. That's it.
You're setting it up. You're going to roll out the McDonald's food truck when we decide to get it for the next. That's what we're doing. I wanted to bring that up. That should be for the next big event we do next summer.
Well, that would be a great idea. I was thinking smaller, and whenever we do decide to hire a new producer, might be months from now. I don't know how this
Please,
is going.
No.
Maybe we should have the Indonesian McDonald's Fest. And we should just have 100 whatever. We'll have the new producer pay for it.
Right. And that Taylor Swift thing, Let Me Be Fat.
The new producer will pay for 100 chicken sandwiches, 100 four-piece chicken nuggets or whatever, and we'll have one big good time.
That's
what's going
great.
On over there?
Drop your bowl of pasta?
That was a gallon of water that now is flooded and everything. Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back on the show, we are taking out the trash. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, welcome inside the DA Show's Trash Tuesday, everybody. You can always listen to us in hundreds of affiliates nationwide and also on Sirius XM channel 158, plus on your phone. You can stream us using the CBS Sports app or the free Odyssey app. Pat Boyle, who are you trashing today?
Yeah, D, I got to trash the Zoomers that asked me to buy them alcohol over the weekend. I went to a concert at Forest Hills Stadium.
Yeah? Which one were you at, Friday or Saturday?
Saturday. Two friends. It was like these DJs.
All right.
It's like EDM music. So, yeah, and I'm waiting in line to get a beer. And, like, these kids were clearly, like, 16, like, pimply-faced, literally look like my little cousin. And they go, and they're, like, stumbling. I'm like, yeah? I just thought they were like, are you the guy from CBS Sports
No!
Radio? No, they
no.
go.
Okay. No, not in our demographic.
Cap?
They go.
Did
they
you
go.
Get oiled recently?
Are you cap?
Are you cap? Did you get oiled up by Gordon in Vancouver? Is that you? No. They go. Can you? Are you buying beer? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, do you think you can get us some? And I just go, what kind of moron do you think I am? First of all, you get it in a can. I'm like, sure. Let me. As if, like, people, as if you can actually do that at stadiums, concerts, whatever now. You can get 6 beers for one person. Yeah, sure, let me go ahead and buy it, and then you guys just wait over here on the side, and I'll just hand it to you. Nobody's gonna know. Nobody's gonna find out. Oh, what a bunch of freaking idiots. Hey, can you buy us beer? Yeah, sure, because you're gonna get drunk off one beer, you little rat. Get the hell out of here. I ain't buying you alcohol. I ain't buying you beer. I can't even grow a beard. I don't even look that old. I'm still getting ID'd every time. So get lost. Get them out.
Charlie Sheen just dumped that on the set of Men at Work.
You called them Zoomers? I've never heard that phrase.
Yeah, you never heard of a Zoomer?
So that's the opposite of a Boomer. Boomer would be a baby Boomer, an old person.
Yeah, Gen Z. Zoomers.
Gen Z is Zoomers. I didn't know that.
All right.
So I guess your kids are Zoomers.
I guess they are.
Little idiots that are going to have dissociative disorders because all they do is they're locked into their phones 24/7.
Fair.
It's fair.
That's all of Pete's classes.
Yep.
Yes.
All of students.
Yes.
All of Pete's students are asking him to buy him beer.
I had a bad beer line incident at that stadium recently, too.
Is that so?
Yeah, it was during the Dave Matthews Band show, and I'm online, and I was wearing...
Wait, I don't think anybody under 40 goes to those.
You'd be surprised, but this was not young kids asking me to buy them beer. This was women in my age bracket. It would be great if it was Dave online. So I'm online. It's pouring rain. So I'm going to buy a hat because like I have like this ridiculous droopy wet dog look. So online behind me are three women, 35 to 45, whatever. They're buying sweatshirts because now it's freezing after the rain. And I'm wearing a shirt I've worn here from Ireland, from Dingle County, Ireland, that says Dingle Surf Shop.
Dingle County.
So they begin to make Dingleberry jokes because they're adults. They must know Sean. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't handle it well.
Oh, wow.
Then they made a non-Dingle reference that I thought was a joke, so I missed that one, too.
By saying you didn't handle it well, did you say something to
them?
No,
I wasn't mean. Oh. I don't think my ha-ha Dingleberry joke sarcasm played well. It was not creative. I didn't want to be mean, but I think it played mean.
I see.
And then they asked me, do you play Dingles tennis? And I'm like, is this another one that I'm not going to get? And like, no, this is a real thing. Dingles tennis is when a single plays a double, apparently.
Oh.
So I missed that joke, too.
Did you know that, Pat?
Not at all.
Yeah. So it was not my best moment. Hmm.
Is that the trash?
I mean, it might as well be at this point.
Okay, trash.
That's trash a dumpster dive.
Trash, folks. Pete the Body, who are you trashing?
I am trashing the last two weekends where it's been hot, and every place I've gone to has a problem with the air conditioner. Mm. One was a party where the air conditioner did not work at a place where it had kids. And then the other place that didn't have an air conditioner was the ice cream shop. So you walk into the ice cream shop and you're sweating and you're all filled with moisture because these guys can't get a proper adequate air conditioner or a replacement in there to take care of their customers and take care of people that are coming to their parties. So you know what? Get them out. You should plan better.
Overflowing landfill.
Saturday was a rough day for the Amendolaras. We drove back from Rhode Island where we spent the 4th of July week on vacation to the in-laws near the beach. As I said before, never saw the beach. We drove back. AJ was largely well-behaved in the car, but once we got home, all hell broke loose. He just refused to go to sleep, to nap. He did anything but be quiet for the entirety of the day. Drove us bonkers, eating, crying. By the time we put him down was like 10 o'clock at night. We couldn't believe he had withstood the entire day of naps. I mean, he's 7 weeks old. Like, aren't you supposed to only eat and sleep? Why are you only doing the eating part? So on Sunday, Bourbon Belle really needed to get out of the house. She was like, we got to do anything. We cannot be in this house any longer. I said, okay, we'll take the stroller out. There's a little farmer's market in our town. We'll take him to the park, roll around the stroller. Maybe a farmer's market, we'll see. See how he does. He's doing great. We take him out, sunshiny, bright, great. Sunday, we really needed this. Well, jungle gym area, we're in the stroller. Everybody's nice, they're playing. Kids are playing, go to the farmer's market, ride around. He's doing great, okay. Bourbon Belle wants a little decaf coffee. No problem. We'll stop. We'll get that. Uh-oh, now it's getting cloudy. Uh-oh, now it looks like the rains might be coming. Uh-oh, the winds are coming in. Now it's starting to pour. I'm like, okay, I'll go get the car, pull it around, and we'll get AJ popped into the driver, into the baby seat, and then we'll be off, go back home. We had our nice day. I mean, the rains really open up. Like, the skies really open up, and now it's torrential downpour. I pull the car around. I'm sopping wet. They're under a little awning area, so they're dry. It's like an older historic building that has one of those built, covered areas over the sidewalk, so they're fine. I pull up the car. We have AJ going from the stroller to the car seat in the baby carrier thing. And like, as you might imagine, wind, rain, crazy, blinkers are on, hazards are on, people trying to get out of the rain, etc. We're hustling to get to the car, and there's an old woman to the corner as my wife has a baby in her hands, putting him into the car, opening up the back to put the stroller in, and the old lady goes, so what was in this building before? And my wife is like, I don't know. And it's like, trying to get the stroller in. I'm like, what did that old lady say? She's like asking for more information. Now, again, it's a chaotic, crazy baby rain situation. And the woman goes, and what was in this building before? I'm like, we got to get out of here. Get in the car. Everyone's packed. Get in. And my wife goes, what was that? And I go, what did she say? And she goes, she asked what was in that old building beforehand. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, what? And my wife goes, read the room, lady. Read the room. We don't have time for chit-chat about what was in the historic building before the bake shop was there 100 years ago. We got a 7-week-old in a torrential thunderstorm. Get him into a car and a stroller. Shut up!
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
A ghost of that building. Ghost.
Don't know your role. Ostrich Eyes is trashing Rob of the 3-2-1. What a random Rob call. What was that? It was cringe, whatever it was.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Kyle is trashed to the 5-day work week. It's 2023. We're still doing this. Come on now. Get it out.
This must be garbage time.
Kyle, you need summer Fridays. That's the only way around the 5-day work week.
Do those exist still?
DA needs summer Fridays.
No.
No? Not even in August?
We'll see.
Okay.
Still, we're still working that out. Mraz threw a whole freaking monkey wrench into the entire summer.
Everything's his fault.
I had everything lined up, the summer Fridays, the paternity leave, everything spaced out properly. And then this whole thing blew up on us.
Mm-hmm. Anus.
Randy is trashing the weather in Alabama. Constant rain every day. It's costing me money enough already.
So frustrating.
Not Connor Green is trashing the absolute garbage human who is swerving in and out of traffic doing about 100 this morning. I can't imagine how many accidents he almost caused. Hashtag idiot. Hashtag get him out.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
And Todd tweets, according to the report in Business Insider, you could have other Indonesian McDonald's packages. The main thing is they have to be 200 items, but you might still be able to get fries for the wedding.
I know the story that you sent, EA, said no fries.
Tough.
Yeah.
All right. AB has our final headline of the morning.
So apparently it's not good to set a single round home run derby record. Vlad Guerrero Jr. did it back in 2019 and lost the title that year to Pete Alonso. Julio Rodriguez did it last night, then lost in the semis to Vladdy Jr. J-Rod clubbed 41 homers to rout Alonso in round one. He didn't know it was a record until his post-derby press conference.
That's pretty good. I'll take it.
The problem was hitting 41 homers left Rodriguez with nothing for round two.
For that second round, I was just... But yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I feel like your mind is there, but your body is not. That's the best way to explain it.
The opposite of Sean. His body's here. His mind never was. Guerrero Jr. then topped Randy Arozarena in the final to join his dad as a Derby champ. In all, they slugged 341 homers, totaling over 138,000 feet in Seattle last night. The All-Star game takes over now. DA and the rest of America can't wait to see Arizona righty Zach Gallen start for the NL.
It's been a whirlwind for sure. Since I think I found out Thursday morning, so I kind of had to keep it under wraps. But yeah, it's awesome. It's an incredible honor.
Gallen does have 11 wins, a 3.04 ERA, and 125 Ks, but maybe he is starting because Clayton Kershaw, Spencer Strider, and Marcus Stroman are unavailable for the NL. He faces an AL lineup featuring five Rangers, Marcus Semien second, Corey Seager cleanup, and Adolis Garcia, Josh Young, and Jonah Heim to close it out. And lastly, from baseball, the Yankees have hired Sean Casey as their new hitting coach. He and manager Aaron Boone played together in Cincinnati. Pat Fitzgerald is out as Northwestern football coach as the school continues to deal with a hazing scandal. After the school newspaper reported some of these specific allegations, school president Michael Schill reconsidered his initial 2-week unpaid suspension for Fitzgerald, then fired him yesterday. Fitzgerald says his agent and his lawyer will decide his next move. He's been a Wildcat for 26 years, first as a player, then an assistant, then 17 years in charge. He has the most wins in program history. Play Me Baby No More Times. That's the rewrite for Victor Wembanyama. His summer league career is over after two games and one Britney Spears encounter. The Spurs shutting down the number one pick until training camp in September. The Pistons are giving big man Isaiah Stewart a four-year, $64 million extension. It's okay if you're unfamiliar with Stewart's work. I am as well. But this is news because Stewart is the first Piston draft pick since Jason Maxey in 2008 to get a rookie extension. Now, one technicality,
wow.
Andre Drummond did get a second contract from Detroit, but he was a restricted free agent, didn't sign a straight rookie extension. Chris Middleton, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Bruce Brown among the recent picks that left Detroit or were traded away before
whoa.
Needing that second contract.
15 years
yeah.
of Pistons first round picks never made a second contract.
Or they got rid of guys before having to pay them. I don't remember why they traded Middleton, but he turned out to be really good.
All-star. So either they busted in a lot of picks they didn't want to pay, or they traded away guys who could have been good.
Right, bad decisions at different times, at the draft or after the draft.
Don't you wonder why they've been such trash?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good stat.
Hey, guys.
Did you think the home run derby, are you done? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm done, yes.
Did you think the home run derby was too frenetic?
Yes, it was giving me anxiety. I like the timed rounds. I thought the 10-out thing was terrible.
I was scared to critique this because I know that you're very defensive about baseball's marketing.
But it's just like you don't know where the ball is. And I don't like the cameramen, I think, are overwhelmed by the ball flying everywhere because – and we've had issues before in previous years with the count. Did we miss one? And even last night,
yeah.
they showed us the room of people tracking these things because I think of the drama in years past. It's a lot. It really, really is. Maybe there's a sweet spot between what they're doing now and not going back to the 10-out cutoff because that, I thought, sucked more than it was good. But it just there's just so much happening. And we all have like big TVs now, so like even with the split screen, which ball is going out? Where did it go out? Who caught it? Which one? It was a lot.
Yeah, there has to be a better way to do this. There has to be. I wonder if this is a conscious effort to gamify the event for kids because it did look very video game-ish. Split screens, lots of stats, time, fast. But there has to be a better way to do it because it's so chaotic and frenetic. It's not really that enjoyable.
No, and I remember in years past being frustrated with, there's an umpire who stands there and usually tells the pitcher when he can throw the next pitch. And I thought the ump was being, in the past, too slow. Then yesterday, some of the guys catching were begging for the ball. They kept doing like the hand signal, like throw it to make it go faster, to get the guys more swings. But yeah, last night was like on crack. There was so much
yeah.
going on. Especially the guys that were hitting, like the Julio Rodriguez 41 homer rounds was bonkers.
Yes, it was just gone.
Which ball is that? The counter was like 3 or 4 behind. You didn't know if they
right.
got the 440 bonus. It was a lot to process.
And then as you said, every hitter gets a bonus 30 seconds.
Right.
So that makes it even more confusing.
Yes.
Are we out of time? Is this bonus time? Oh, there's bonus time on top of the bonus time?
Right.
I wonder if that's intentional.
I mean, it's certainly intentional to go faster.
Yeah.
But last night felt too fast. I at first was blaming the camera guys. Like, they didn't know what to do. And, like, they usually have, like, run-throughs. Like, you can't necessarily mimic a 450-foot high-arcing home run to the second deck and left. But it looked like they didn't know how to, like, pan correctly to get the flight of the ball
right.
into the stands, and then they were quick cutting to the next stands of people reaching up for it. It was intense.
And baseball does not lend itself to split screen. That screen is too narrow for what you're trying to, it's not a narrow sport. It's a wide-ranging sport. So a guy at the plate, you kind of need to know what's around him to get a sense, and you certainly, following a ball into the stands, need to understand where in the stadium it's going.
Right, and like, I'm sitting there going, I think the money shot is contact. Like, I can tell when the ball is destroyed a contact.
Fair.
So I want to watch the normal view in a stadium that's pretty but not iconic. I don't necessarily need the end shot. Like, in Fenway, going over the monster, that was beautiful. Certain stadiums have backdrops that are beautiful. Or certain stadiums, like Fenway, have particular places where the ball never goes. So I want to see it go there. But for whatever reason, because I noticed it with Rutschman hitting to right field was easier to process than left field last night, at least for me. And it was just too much at times.
I wonder how much thought is put into it. Are they thinking like, well, everybody's on their phone vertically now, kind of like Instagram, and so people are used to looking at things in a little narrow box, but we don't watch sports in split screen. Nothing in sports looks like that. So when you look at it and it's happening so fast, you can't track where anything is from a depth perception standpoint because it's too narrow. It's just like, this is cool because these guys are awesome at what they do, and the event is cool. Home runs are cool, and they still are. They'll always be cool, but the production of that was
yeah.
just left me with a weird taste.
I still think it was more like technical error than event error, but there is still room to make it a little more palatable from like the actual structure of it.
Yeah. When we come back on the show, advanced analytics and an epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
Phillies outfielder Nick Castellanos said that he considers Scooby-Doo a superhero. We asked you guys the same question, and 78% of you said, no, you disagree. Now, Scooby-Doo was originally pitched as a rock band with a dog who plays the bongos. Is that so?
They should do that now.
How ironic, you want a huge circle of life here. The voice of Shaggy, performed by Casey Kasem, and wanted Shaggy to be a vegetarian. Casey even quit the show when Shaggy was in a BK commercial. That's the ethics of Casey Kasem. And Pat Boyle's favorite snack in third grade was Scooby-Doo fruit gummies. They had the heads of each character for the different flavors. He used to kiss the Daphne gummy, pretending he was kissing her.
Aw.
That's right.
But Daphne's the pretty one or the smart one?
Daphne's the redheaded smoke show.
Got it.
The other
one's,
I think.
Yeah, the other one's Velma.
Velma's the, my glasses.
That's right. Velma always loses her glasses and complains.
It's my glasses.
Speaking of, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Scooby-Doo as superhero.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
If a dog can talk and helps people solve crimes and mysteries, does that make him a superhero? And I would argue it makes him a very special animal, but not a superhero. I think if we start going down the road of talking animals are superheroes, let's look at everybody from Looney Tunes. We don't know, though, whether Goofy is a cow or a dog.
No, we know he's a dog.
Remember.
Sean doesn't know.
Bad boy!
You need to be able to kick some ass to be a superhero. Scooby ain't kicking ass. He's just solving crimes somehow. I mean, the fact that if you're a criminal, you're getting caught by a dog and his, you know, pothead sidekick Shaggy, you're not a very good criminal.
You're a beast. You're a tank.
And how much crime are they really fighting? The dog is the one solving the crimes. You got the one chick is blind half every episode. How do you lose your glasses every episode? Oh, my glasses. I can't find my glasses. You're letting the criminal get in the way, sweetheart. Figure it out. Get contact lenses. Fred and Vilma, they're too busy bumping uglies, knocking boots together to figure out what's going on, and you got a talking dog who solves all the crimes. I mean, they're a bunch of dopes.
I've made a lot of mistakes in life.
Pat doing a Velma has lost her glasses. A meek lost Velma losing her glasses is my favorite moment of the day.
Get some contacts.
Where's my glasses? It lost my glasses, Scooby, again. Shaggy, where's my glasses?
She makes me angry because every time I actually lose my glasses, that's the first thing somebody says to me.
Oh, I can't find my glasses.
Shut up.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
That was good. Dixieland Dan is trash. The softball tournament this weekend. It's 1.5 hours away, and our first game's at 7 a.m. There's no shade of this park. It's going to be 100 degrees. There's no food places near the field. The top two teams get paid to go to Panama City Beach next year, which is cool, but trash this whole thing.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Panama City Beach?
Yeah.
Panama. Panama. Panama.
Mariana says, now you can relate to all the times I've trashed people on the walks with a stroller. Don't stop at a stop sign, trash them. Don't let me have the right of way, trash them. Almost run me over when I have a walk sign, trash them. Add rain, oh no, it brings out the worst in me.
This must be garbage time.
All right, that was a good Trash Tuesday. Tomorrow morning, looks like we have more listeners lined up to interview for Mraz's job. So will one of them shine? We shall see. Thanks to Pat Boyle, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. We will see you tomorrow. The mothership disconnects.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.